It's Technical Time with Fred Allen. Welcome to the Technical Star Theater, ladies and gentlemen. We invite you to join the next 60 minutes with Fred Allen, Teddy Baker, Portland Hopper, our special guest, Maurice Evans, man about Shakespeare, the winner of the Technical College competition, Jack McDonald, from the College of the Holy Cross at Worcester, Massachusetts, and Al Goodman Dawkinson. An hour of mirth and melody brought to you by the more than 45,000 Plexico dealers from coast to coast. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, New York City installed an air raid siren that can be heard from one end of the city to the other. Tonight, we bring you a man who, when he shoots off his mouth, can be heard from one end of the country to the other. He's Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. What are you laughing for? Nothing's happened here. Thank you. Nothing is apt to happen with alarming rapidity here, too, as I remember the script. So thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Wallington, about your introduction.
Well, what's wrong with my introduction? It's the same old hooey I've been giving you every Wednesday.
Well, Jimmy, this isn't Wednesday night, you see. It's Sunday. Now, for almost 8 years, every Sunday night at this time, people have been hearing the Ford Symphony Hour, the finest music, beautiful singing. Now, tonight they tune in. What do they hear? You say, we bring you a man who shoots off his mouth. Well, I know. You will write that line in yourself.
I didn't say that.
Now, look, Jimmy, if we're going to make new friends on Sunday night, we have got to be more refined, more reserved. Your meadow wit is entirely out of place.
Oh, yeah? Then why don't you get Deems Taylor?
We tried, and oh, how we tried. But Deems Taylor won't announce on a program unless there are 400 piccolos in the orchestra. And the leader's baton lights up. He has a clause there. He has the light, you see. Our man is leading with a shingle here.
Well, this is supposed to be a comedy program. I get more laughs than Deems Taylor.
Well, Jimmy, now that we're on Sunday nights, we don't want laughs anymore. Don't forget, Jack Benny has been on earlier tonight. Benny has been on with his alleged fun. And the word fun is loosely used in this instance. Did you hear Mr. Benny tonight?
No, I didn't, Fred.
Well, he did his program tonight out in San Diego from the Marine Corps base out there for the Marines.
Yes.
I will say this, Jimmy Walling. Tonight, Jack Benny set morale back 200 years out there. You know, he had one gag where Dennis Day comes in and gets a reception. Of course, Jack and Don, everybody applaud Dennis, and they think it's the audience if you're sitting home, but it's really the cast.
Yes.
And Dennis comes in and he tells Benny that he has been out to the San Diego Zoo and he has seen a baboon that looks like me, you see? He's in a cage out there. Well, all I have to say in rebuttal is that at least my ancestors are on the ground and in cages while Benny's are still up in the tree. You see, Jimmy, people are surfeited with that low comedy tonight. Now we come on. The listeners want to enjoy peace and quiet. I've taken all the jokes out of the script tonight.
Oh, did you cut out that class gag with Kenny?
Oh, yes. Kenny says, how can I show my class? And I say, fan your girl with your draft card.
Yeah.
Low comedy at all.
Well, Fred, if you're not going to have any jokes on the program, you won't want me around.
No, Jimmy. You will be the last joke to go. And as you go, we turn to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly polite from the world of news. Hollywood, California. Last week, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences made its annual awards for outstanding achievements in the cinema industry for 1941. Tonight, the Much of Trivia, ignoring the Academy selections, makes its annual awards to little-known Hollywood Riff and Raff, who contributed practically nothing to the advancement of the motion picture industry during the past year. Now, first tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Trivia Award goes to a Hollywood miss who wasn't even heard of during 1941, Miss Pansy Plute. What is your... You are Miss Plute. You're not a stand-in, are you?
No.
You're real. Well, what is your claim to obscurity, Pansy?
I was the only girl in Hollywood in 1941 who didn't.
Who didn't what?
I didn't wear no sweater.
No.
I didn't wear no slack.
No.
I didn't wear no open-toe shoes.
No.
I didn't wear no red on my fingernails.
No.
I didn't go out with no producers, directors, or stars.
Is that all you didn't?
No. I didn't work a day in 1941.
A sound effects man who made the most unimportant sound in Hollywood in a picture in 1941 was Burley Brink. What was the sound, Burley?
Well, we were making a Hardy Family picture. The Hardy Family gives up.
Thank you, Andy. We didn't know you were here. The Hardy Family gives up, I
yeah,
see.
And in one scene, Mickey Rooney looks out of a window.
Yeah?
He sees a caterpillar fall off a slippery elm tree, bump against the footwiller, and land on some chicken feathers on the ground.
And you had to duplicate this sound?
Yeah, I tried everything. Dropping the white of an egg on pollen.
Yeah.
Letting four cup custard onto a duck's back. Finally, I got it.
Well, how did you reproduce the sound of caterpillar falling off a slippery elm tree, bumping against a pussy willow, and landing on the chicken feathers?
Well, I got a limp banana.
Yeah.
I bumped the limp banana against my mustache.
Yeah.
Then I dropped the limp banana onto a wet toupee.
Congratulations. A Trivia Award goes to the actress who spoke the same two lines in 27 consecutive B pictures, Miss Moselle LaMontagne. She looked something like Pansy Plute, who was here a minute ago. This is another character. You are unhappy as 1941 went in Hollywood, Moselle.
Moselle LaMontagne's career has been a cavalcade of redundant small talk.
What is your problem, Moselle?
I'm tight. 27B pictures. And what is my dialogue? Always the same two lines.
What line?
The juvenile lead ogles me.
Yeah.
I say, naughty boy.
Yeah.
He kisses my hand.
Yeah.
I say, joujou, l'amour.
And then?
Then I repulse him.
And you say this has been going on?
In 27 consecutive B pictures, Moselle LaMontagne has said, naughty boy, and toujours l'amour.
And then you repulse hero.
In every picture.
Well, tell me, hasn't this affected your private life?
It's embarrassing.
In what way?
This morning, I went down to fill out my income tax.
Yeah?
The clerk said, your name? I said, naughty boy.
Yeah.
Then he said, occupation? I said, toujours l'amour.
What happened?
He's phoning me tonight.
You will repulse him, of course.
Who knows? I may ad lib.
Moselle LaMontagne. A Trivia Award goes to an actor who appeared in 200 pictures in 1941 and never moved in a moving picture. Bunthorne Tremaine. Mr. Tremaine.
Hiya, fans.
What is it you do? There was one Bunthorne Tremaine fan. What is it you do in pictures, Bunthorne?
Well, I'm a rigor mortis feigner.
You feign rigor mortis?
Yeah, I portray only dead bodies.
Only dead bodies, I see.
I've been in 200 pictures, but always laying down.
Oh, is that why you didn't get any reception tonight?
Yeah, my fans don't recognize me standing up. Wait, I'll down and show you. Thank you, one and all.
Yes, I saw you at the Rialto 7 weeks in succession this year. You literally tore down the house tonight.
Yeah, you see, the minute I laid, I'm a picture personality.
Well, don't your fans ever see you killed in any of your pictures? Aren't you ever shot, stabbed before you fall over?
Yeah, I've always just been killed.
Oh.
When a detective opens the door, I'm always on the floor with a knife in my brisket, dead.
Well, how many times have you been killed, approximately?
Well, let me see. 41 times by the Lone Ranger,
41.
18 times by Mr. Moto,
yeah.
13 times by Gene Autry, the Tin Man's cooked me. Oh, I was killed twice in Son of Fury.
You died twice in the same picture?
Yeah, I filled in for a guy. He was suddenly took an ill. He was too sick to die, so I kicked the bucket.
Well, tell me, Bunthorne, what do you feel was your outstanding part during 1941?
Oh, me role in Citizen Kane.
Well, I don't recall you in that picture.
Remember the end of the picture?
At Citizen Kane's grave?
Yeah, all the people are standing around a mound of ice crying.
You were...
Yeah, I was laying under the dice, making like a lump.
Oh, yeah. You liked that part, did you?
I not only liked it, I loved it.
But tell me, I'm happy in your movie work, Bunthorne.
Well, it's hit and run. I'm making a living, but they're killing me.
Well, I'm happy to stay in pictures, and thank you, Bunthorne, for me. Well, I guess that about takes
care... Not too fast, my frowsy friend. Falstaff here, he's my friend.
Now, look, please, Falstaff.
I just tossed aside my rhyming dictionary.
Well, don't tell me that you have concocted an embrace of gamey poems.
Oh, yes. Have you heard, she called me Clumsy Reggie as I tripped and sprung my wedgie?
No, I haven't heard that.
Or, tell us, Ellis, were you jealous when you hit her with the trellis?
No, I haven't heard that.
Give the man back his base mother. You're too old to be making passes.
Now, wait. Please. Now, tonight we are discussing Hollywood and the Academy Awards.
Precisely why I am here.
You have written a poem?
No, I wrote the Academy Awards song. Hollywood gave me a dirty deal.
Why, the song that won the award was the last time I saw Paris.
Tripe and Balderdash. I wrote the top tune of the year. The greatest love song ever written for picture.
And you're here to sing it tonight?
No, I have brought the stink singers with me.
Oh, these... these are the stink singers?
Yes, formerly Basin Street Boys.
Oh, I've gone up in the world of plumbing, I see. Well, sir, tell me, how does your love song go, Falstaff?
We'll run over the chorus. Hit it.
Hop along, Cassidy, I love you. I swear by the western moon. Hop along, Cassidy, you'll be mine. Get your saddle in June. We'll be hitched in the old corral. You're my hop along, I'm your sal. In a year or two, we'll be three. Hop along, you, your horse, and me. Ooh. Hop along, please be true. Oh, Gideon, hop along. I love you. I love you.
Now, we know why you didn't win the Academy Award. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn to welcome Kenny Baker, aided and abetted by Al Goodson and his orchestra. Kenny sings tonight, I'll Follow My Secret Heart.
Till I find love. out of the way. But what I meet with a sweetheart so sweet that my wayward heart cannot obey. A single word that you may say, apart till one comes through. No matter what price is paid, what stars may fade apart, I'll follow my secret heart till I.
Thank you, Kenny. That was swell. And here's Larry Elliott with the, what are those telegrams, Larry, you have there? Who are those from?
Yes, Fred, they're all from listeners who like your new time.
Really?
I know you won't be able to read them all, but here's one of the names of the bunch. It's from a couple of school children.
School children? Let me see. Says, dear Mr. Allen, thanks for changing days. Us kids could hardly ever hear you on Wednesday nights because we had our homework to do, but Sunday night is swell for us. We appreciate your changing your time. Hey, this is nice, Larry.
Yes, and it also goes to prove that changing times brings an appreciation of a lot of other things. For instance, these are things that make you, as a car driver, appreciate more than ever the advantages of Texaco Sky Chief Saline and its flexible power. Being more conscious of the way your motor runs, you sense all the more quickly the extra life that Sky Chief can put into it. Being watchful, not to start too quickly, not to grind those precious tires, you're sure to feel how perfectly controlled is Sky Chief's flexible power, how even and smooth the pickup. Yes, and out on the road, keeping under 40 miles an hour, you'll see how steadily, how masterfully your car holds the pace with Texaco Sky Chief in the tank. That's flexible power for you. Alert, responsive to every demand. Today, more than ever, your car deserves Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
Maestro Goodman brings to an abrupt close his serial rendition of Tick-a-Tee, Tick-a-Tar. As we hurry on to matters... Well, of course...
Hello. The doorman said you wanted to see me.
Who put hello in it? There's no hello. The doorman, what? You said... The doorman, everybody writes in what they want to say. I've never seen a doorman. The doorman said I wanted to see you. Well, I do. Where's Kenny?
Oh, he's over there standing by a bass drum. He's confused.
Confused about what? Because it's Sunday?
No. Kenny doesn't know whether he found a bass drummer lost the Salvation Army.
Well, maybe there's a hole in Gene Krupa's pocket. He probably dropped his drum, was in here yesterday, I believe. Well, tell Kenny I want to see him, too.
Okay. What's cooking, F.A.?
Your goose, if anything goes wrong tonight.
What's tonight, Mr. Allen?
It's Sunday. This is our first Sunday broadcast, Portland, and Sunday nights in radio, the audience is more discriminated. Now, we ought to add a class to this program. We have got to exude a rumor, an aroma. I was thinking of an old boarding house where I used to live where a man fell out the window and a rumor that was a... We have got to exude an aroma of savoir faire.
Should I go ahead now?
No, somebody, I tell you what happened. It's really aroma, but they didn't close up the O and the wind out of it. And it made... We have got to exude an aroma when, of savoir faire.
We exuded an aroma Wednesday night, didn't we?
Yeah, an aroma, yes, but it wasn't savoir faire, Kenny.
No.
Now, to inaugurate our new Ultra policy, our guest tonight is a man who will lend the program a note of distinction.
Well, who is our guest? Who's this, or whatchamacallit, in Costello?
No, it's not he. Our guest tonight is Maurice Evans.
Who's Maurice Evans?
Who is Maurice Evans? Kenny Baker. Maurice Evans, the greatest living interpreter of Shakespeare in the theater today.
Who's Shakespeare?
Shakespeare was a writer.
English?
Yes. Any more questions?
Yes, Shakespeare wrote in English. Why does he just Maurice Evans the interpreter?
I'll explain. Maurice Evans is the world's greatest Shakespearean actor. Shakespeare was the world's greatest playwright.
Oh, yeah? What about Orson Welles?
Shakespeare came before Orson Welles. Shakespeare lived a long time ago.
Before Lincoln?
Yes, before Lincoln.
Before George Washington?
Yes, Kenny, long before.
Before Major Bowles?
I give up.
Well, maybe Sir Evans can explain Shakespeare to Kenny.
I'm afraid I'll have to explain Kenny to Mr. Evans when he gets here. Now, look, both of you, I'm going to introduce you both to Mr. Evans. Why, I don't know. And when I do, I want you to answer him in Shakespearean vernacular.
Not me. I'm not going to lose my merit badge.
Now, look, Kenny, when you meet Mr. Evans, all I want you to say is, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well.
Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well.
Fine. And, Portland, you say, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? You got that?
Yes, I'm ready.
Good. Now, when Mr. Evans gets these Shakespearean greetings, I'm sure he'll feel more at home. And now, ladies and gentlemen, since critics and playgoers have used up all of the adjectives describing his artistry and skill in the theater, I am left with nothing to say but, meet Maurice Evans. Good evening, Mr. Evans.
Good evening, Mr. Evans.
I hope our humble studio meets with your approval.
The studio's fine.
The lights are all right for you, are they?
The lights are excellent.
The microphone is at the right height, is it?
The microphone is perfect.
The acoustics are to your liking, are they?
The acoustics are superb.
Good. Have you looked at your script?
Yes. That's the only thing that worries me.
Before we get going, Mr. Evans, I'd like to have you meet two of your ardent fans. This is Ken Baker. How do you do?
Alas, poor Yorick, I know him. Well?
Well?
That's all, brother.
Mr. Evans is...
Romero! Therefore art thou, Caesar Romero!
What's going on here, friend?
Well, Marie, you are a Shakespearean actor, and I thought...
I know. You thought just because I play Shakespeare, I'd turn out to be an old sunfit with no sense of humor.
Well, I am a little disappointed in your appearance, Mr. Evans. After seeing you play Shakespeare with all those beards and wigs, I thought you were just an old mid-Victorian Drew, to tell you the truth.
Well, to be quite frank, Fred, I'm a little disappointed in your appearance, too.
Well, how do you mean, Marie?
You know, hearing you over the air, I always imagined you were an ugly-looking bird with bags under your arms and a hangdog appearance.
Well, how are you disappointed, Marie?
I had hoped you'd be different.
I guess you can see the bags, huh?
See them? See them? Why, your eyes look as though they were tucking themselves to sleep in two skin hammocks.
Well, I know I'm not good looking.
The last time I saw a head like yours, I held it in my hand and said, alas, poor Yorick, I knew him. Well?
Well, in radio, Maurice, we don't use makeup.
You should, Fred.
I look that bad, huh?
If you and I were the only ones here, I'd swear this place was haunted.
Well, now, wait a minute, Marie. I saw you in Hamlet when you wore those tights. And if you didn't have those papier-mâché kneecaps and false calves stuck on your legs...
False calves? Me?
You heard me.
For your information, Mr. Allen, what you saw in those tights was all good Evans.
You'll have to show me.
All right, I will. Hold the script.
All right.
I'll pull up the trousers and show you. You wouldn't say those are two nasturtium stems, would you?
No, I've never seen nasturtium stems with woolen socks on. But I from what I have just seen, Marie, you could go with Minsky.
I have had offers as well.
You have? Shakespearean actor, you are broad-minded, Marie. You know, I thought all you disciples of the bard lived in another world.
And that's where you're wrong, Fred. Most people have the same impression. They imagine a Shakespearean performance is something holy.
Well, isn't it?
Not at all. Shakespeare's plays have been entertaining audiences for over 350 years.
I know, but today audiences are picture-minded, Marie. People are crazy about Humphrey Bogart, cops and robber stuff.
But Shakespeare's full of cops and robbers.
Really?
Take Macbeth, the play I'm doing this season. It's really a gangster story.
Macbeth is a gangster story?
Sure. As the play opens, Macbeth and Banquo, two big shots, have just knocked off the MacDonald mob. Making their getaway, they meet the Scotch. The Scotch are hep, see? They're witches, see?
Uh-huh.
One frail says to Macbeth, Mac, you're going to be king.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Big, see? Macbeth, very tough gent, says, now you're cooking with sister. Macbeth tells Lady Macbeth, an old dagger mole.
Lady Macbeth is an old dagger mall, isn't
she? Yeah, she used to run the King Lear mob. She hides out with a hot toll bridge.
Hot bridge?
When Macbeth buzzes her, she's hep to the jive. And she, Macbeth, planned to rub out Duncan, the king, see?
Well, what happened?
They croak Duncan.
They do, huh?
Then they bump off Banquo, another Deutsch.
Yes?
Banquo's ghost starts casing the castle.
The ghost starts casing the castle.
Lady Mac walks in her sleep, turns stool pigeon, and sings on Macbeth.
Well, how does the play end, Marie?
And Duncan's son, that's Malcolm the Moot,
yeah,
gets a mob of Scotch guerrillas. There's a big gang fight. It's a massacre. To save ammunition, the Scots are throwing stones and yelling, bang, bang.
And?
Macbeth is chilled. And Malcolm the Moot moves in.
Say, you know that sounds like all of Humphrey Bogart's pictures put together.
Yes, Fred. Shakespeare's plays are right up to the minute. Shakespeare will live forever.
Well, what about that age-old controversy, Maurice? Do you think Shakespeare's plays were really written by Bacon?
I don't know whether Bacon wrote Shakespeare's plays or not, but many a hand has played them.
Present company accepted, Maurice.
I hope so, Fred.
So do I. Speaking of ham reminds me, Jack Benny has just made a new picture called To Be or Not to Be. Now, aren't you a little worried for the bard?
You think when Jack's picture comes up, Shakespeare will turn in his grave?
Turn in his grave? Shakespeare will be known as Whirling Willie.
Comedians have ambitions to play Hamlet, Fred. Have you ever thought about it?
Oh, no, I don't think I could.
You'd be a novelty, Fred. Nasal Hamlet.
You think so? Say, if Benny can play Shakespeare, I ought to have a go at the old boy. He recited a little Shakespeare tonight, incidentally. I ought to have a go at the old boy just for spite.
But I think you'd be a finest sensation, Greg. Try a few lines. How about that famous speech of Richard the First? A horse, a horse.
All right. What picture, Marie?
Go ahead.
A horse, my kingdom for the horse. How was that?
Well, a little more vibrato would help me. A horse, a horse, my kingdom for a horse. Try it again.
All right.
A horse, a horse.
Oh, down at the phone. Excuse me, Marie. Hello. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I didn't think, sir. Oh, no, sir.
Bad news, Fritz.
It's the sponsor, Marie.
He doesn't like Shakespeare?
He says he's trying to sell gasoline, and if I don't stop plugging horses, I'm through.
Fred, you don't mean to tell me that you're going to let a sponsor stand between you and a career?
Well, this is all I have, Maurice, my little radio program
Shakespeare
here.
Shakespeare needs you, Fred. I'll get you on the road with me. You can open tomorrow night in Philadelphia. Shakespeare is calling.
Well, wait, Maurice. I just can't jump up and go, you know. I have a few things to attend to.
Will it take you long?
Well, I'll have to sell my book of apartment houses on Park Avenue. I'll have to close up my townhouse, get my estate at Sands Point, find a good home for my fawn. I'll have to give servants their notice, close the stables, let my butler and the master of hounds go.
Just a second, Fred.
Yes, Maurice.
You got these houses, horses, servants out of radio?
Yes, Maurice, but I can get rid of this worldly junk. What is wealth when art is at stake? When do I join you, Maurice?
Fred?
Yes?
You are not joining me.
No?
I am joining you.
You mean that you'd be willing to abandon Shakespeare to go into radio to tell stale jokes?
Yes, Fred.
Mr. Evans is joking.
Mr. Evans is hungry.
Well, it's too bad. We should have had a little more meat in the script for you tonight. Well, Maurice, it was certainly nice of you to drop in this evening.
It's been a pleasure, Fred.
Thanks to you, we realize that this generation is greatly indebted to Shakespeare.
Yes, many of the plots of today's plays were stolen from Shakespeare.
That's right.
Many of the expressions we use today were stolen from Shakespeare.
That's right.
And most of the jokes you told tonight.
Thank you, and good night, Maurice Evans. Evans prepares to join the Texaco Workshop players later in the program. Kenny Baker returns to sing the George Gershwin highlight from Porgy and Bess. It ain't necessarily so.
It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Little David was small, but oh my. Little David was small, but oh my. He fought big Goliath, who lay down and died. Little David was small, but oh my. Oh, I hope, bim, bam, boodaloo, boodaloo, the one eye, daddy was. George, Jonah, he lived in a whale. Oh, Jonah, he lived in a whale. For he made his home in that fish's abdomen. For Jonah, he lived in a whale. Little Moses was found in a tree. Little Moses was found in a stream. He floated on water till old Pharaoh's daughter, she fished him, she saved three. So that into heaven go snap the heavenly clean. Don't have no fall. Oh, I take that gospel whenever it's possible, but with a grain of salt. Methuselah lived 900 years. Methuselah lived 900 years. But who calls that living when no gallows giving to no man what's 900 years? I'm preaching this sermon to show it ain't necessary, 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 necessary. It ain't necessarily
so. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the Texaco Star Theater plays host to another young, talented performer, direct from the campus of one of America's great colleges. Tonight's winner is a young man who represents the College of the Holy Cross, selected by his fellow students, whose ballots bring him here tonight as Fred Allen's guest, with all expenses paid, plus a cash award of $200. Now, are you ready to present our guest, Fred?
I am ready and eager, Larry. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present from Worcester, Massachusetts, the pride of Holy Cross, the talented young tenor, John J. McDonald. Welcome to our Texaco fraternity house, John.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Well, how does it feel after being around Worcester all year to suddenly find yourself in New York City?
Oh, I've been in New York many times, Mr. Allen.
Oh, that's too bad, John. I was hoping this trip would be a novelty for you.
It is. This time I'm going to see the sights.
But you've been to New York before?
I have, but not with $200.
Oh. Well, you don't have to spend your money, John. This trip is FOB, Fun on Broadway, and the whole thing is on me. Tell me, what are you studying up at Holy Cross?
I'm taking a pre-medical course.
Oh, really? I took up medicine when I went to high school.
They don't teach medical courses at high school, do they?
Well, no, John. After school, I ran an elevator in a drugstore. I took the medicine up from the basement to the... do you want to be a doctor?
Yes, that's my ambition.
It is. Are you saving old magazines to put in your waiting room when you open your office?
Not yet.
Well, you'd better start, John. Many a promising new doctor has had to postpone opening his office until he could find an armful of old National Geographic. But apart from your pre-medical work, are you interested in the other activities at school?
Yes, I'm chairman of the Purple Tea.
The Purple Tea?
That's the student representative body and sort of a school spirit club. I'm also a soloist college glee club.
Ah, yes. Where there are clubs, you will generally find an Irishman every time. Your school turns out some fine athletes, doesn't it, John?
Why, yes. Holy Cross has contributed more baseball players to the major leagues than any other school in the country.
You've had some fine football players, too.
Yes, Phil Osmanski went to Holy Cross.
Oh, Osmanski is the great fullback who played for the Chicago Bears in the professional league. Is he still going to school?
Yes, Phil's a dental student.
Well, I saw Osmanski play last fall, and something told me he was going to be a dentist. You know, every time he'd open up the line, he'd say, "This isn't going to hurt a bit." I used to have a lot of friends up your way, John.
Did you ever play in Worcester, Mr. Allen?
Oh, Worcester, many times. The first time I appeared in Worcester, the audience gave me the dodo. People thought the dodo was extinct, John. 1914, I believe. The last time I played Worcester, Harry Lauder was there making his farewell appearance. Harry and I tried to get in to live at the YMCA, but the clerk took a look at Lauder's kilt and sent him over to the YW. Well, John, if you want to get a word in edgewise, this is your chance. I'm winded.
I did want to present you with some gifts the fellow sent down from Holy Cross.
Gifts, John? Well, this is the first time anything like this has ever happened on this program. The first time tonight, I mean.
This little bottle here.
Is it bottled blood? Just what I need, John. Esquire comes out, if you don't mind. May I cut in? May I cut in? Esquire comes out tomorrow, and I'll need this blood. I may want the blood.
All right, now.
Yes, it's your turn, John.
This isn't blood, Mr. Allen. It's a bottle of laughing gas.
This is laughing gas in here?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yes, the chemistry department thought if your joke didn't go well tonight, this laughing gas might come in handy.
Oh, this is laughing gas. Is this the real McCoy in here, is it? I'll open up the bottle and smell a little, John. You don't mind, do you? Mm-hmm. Say, this is great, John. Wait till I throw a little gas at the audience here. Hey, see how it works, John? John.
The boys also asked me to present you with this musical club charm.
What is this, John?
At Holy Cross, this charm is presented to singers when they graduate.
You mean that this little charm means the singer is finished?
Yes. We heard you sing with Buddy Bear.
And this you... And this musical club charm here intimates, then, that I am finished.
Well, the boys just told me to give it a charm, Mr. Allen, and I believe you'll have to draw your own conclusions.
Oh. Well, in putting a stop to my singing, John, Holy Cross has made me a much better insurance risk. So thanks a lot to you and the fellas back at school for these useful gifts tonight. And now, as I enter vocal oblivion, I appoint you my successor to take over. What song have you prepared for tonight?
I'd like to sing I Hear You Calling Me.
I Hear You Calling Me, dedicated to your local draft board, of course. The most talented undergraduate of the College of the Holy Cross, John J. McDonald. Song, I Hear You Calling Me.
I hear you calling me. life. Before I went from you into the night, I came to you, remember, for you, for one last kiss, beneath a cloud.
Thank you, John McDonald. Thank you, John McDonald. Thanks to the College of the Holy Cross for selecting you to brighten our program tonight, and our best wishes for your future success in the world of medicine. Now, next week, ladies and gentlemen, the most talented undergraduate of Colgate University. After listening to the three finalists over station WIBX Utica, the student body went to the polls, ballots have just been tabulated, and the winner is David Bowman. Congratulations, David. We'll be looking for you next Sunday. And, say, look, Kenny, please don't stand around the microphone yawning if you're tired.
Well, I was up all night.
Up all night doing what?
Well, I was trying to figure out how to switch my tires around so they wear even.
Well, that's a good patriotic idea, but what is so hard about rotating your tires?
Well, if I put the behind tires before, they'll last because it'll be first. But later, they may wear out earlier, so I had to put the front back in the back, and I'll be more behind than I was before. Out of walk.
Well, I... trade the car in for a cane. That's the thing. Well, you have got a problem there, Kenny. You'd better talk to our expert. Jimmy, how can Kenny solve his tire problem?
Well, my advice, Kenny, is to drive in at the Texaco dealer and have him examine all five of your tires, including the spare. He knows exactly how much wear a tire gets in each position. He'll plan your tire rotation so as to put the most rubber where it's needed most to equalize wear. He'll tell you exactly the inflation that will get the most mileage from your tires, too, and check the pressure regulator to see that they're right. With his help and your careful driving, keeping under 40, avoiding fast turns and sudden starts or stops, the life of your tires can be greatly increased. And that's not all. Your Texaco dealer's expert lubrication, regularly with Texaco quality products, will prolong the life of your car, too. So drive in at that Texaco sign. Remember, care for your car, for your country.
And now the Texaco Workshop players. Tonight they present a thrilling drama of intrigue behind prison walls called The Hardy Family in the Penitentiary or Life with Father.
Come on, get your windbreaker, Maple. Let's go.
I'm coming, Herbert.
Okay, let's go.
Quiet in the audience, please.
Go ahead with your acting, brother. We're blowing.
Now, well, wait. Now, we're just starting our play. You folks can't walk out now.
Well, we got in here by mistake.
Yeah, we thought it was the Ford Symphony Hour.
What a beating we took tonight, huh, Maple?
Yeah. Looking at a lot of nobodies.
Nobody? Madam, I happen to be Fred Allen.
Who knows you?
Why, I've been on the air Wednesday nights for 8 years.
No, we don't listen Wednesday nights.
No, Wednesday's Homer's lot.
Yeah. Sons of exempted fathers in 1918.
little campfire girls who went out.
You've never heard this program, the Texaco Star Theater.
Oh, we ain't the only ones, brother. There's millions of people come out Wednesday. They never heard of you. Come on, Mabel, let's flow. Let's
oh, wait out. A minute. My snow's caught on something.
Now, wait, just a minute.
Sit down.
Sit down, you two. Now, for the benefit of you, sit here and keep quiet. For the benefit of you two and any other people who've never heard this program Wednesday night, I'll show you who I am. I will prove to you that I am a celebrity. I'll tell you the story of my life. All right? And any other people who've never heard this program Wednesday night, I'll show you who I am. I will prove to you that I am a celebrity. I'll tell you the story of my life. All right, Mr. Bates.
We now present an emergent feature. The life of Fred Allen.
On March 8, 1942, at 9 p.m. Eastern wartime, a voice new to Sunday was heard over the Columbia network. It was a sour voice, a flat voice, a voice that came from beyond the nose. The voice said...
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
It was the voice of Fred Allen.
Who was Fred Allen?
Was he a will-o'-the-wisp?
Was he the shadow incognito?
Was Fred Allen a star, or...
just a bum?
Fred Allen was born at Cambridge, Massachusetts, during the blizzard of 1896. It was so cold that night, Fred Allen was born with mittens on. The doctor looked at the shivering little tyke and said,
Nurse!
Yes, Dr. Kildare, I'm bringing the crib.
Forget the crib. Get me a cage.
Yes, doctor.
Yes, what a dissipated looking baby.
With those jowls under his eyes, I thought he had three heads.
He doesn't see anything.
Shall I hold him upside down?
Yes, I'll slap some life into the little monstrosity.
And so Fred Allen made his entrance into the world. And on his first entrance, the doctor gave him a great big hand.
Was Fred Allen to be an actor?
The new name to shine in light?
Had a little star been born?
Or just a little bum?
When Fred Allen was 2 years old, he hid in the bathtub in his house. 15 years later, his mother found him.
Son. Don't you remember me, son?
Ma.
What a memory. Have you been sitting in this empty bathtub for 15 years?
Yep.
What have you been doing all these years?
Now that Mother Allen had found little Fred, she packed him off to school. At 17, he was rather big to be entering the first grade. He wore long pants with his little Lord Fauntleroy suit, and he carried a chic razor in his lunchbox. But off he went to school. At the end of 4 years, one morning, his teacher said to the class,
Well, children, this is the final day of school. You've received your diplomas on the way out.
Fred Allen.
Yes, teacher.
This is your fourth year in the same class. Your senior year in the first grade.
I like it here.
Here, moron, take this and get out of my school.
What is this, a diploma?
No, it's a dispossess.
Was Fred Allen to make his way in the world untutored?
Was he to go through life a self-made man,
a rugged individualist, or...
just a bum.
His school days over, Fred Allen returned home to think about the future. For 7 years, he thought. Then one night, Mother called him into her room and said...
Son, you're 24 years old now. It's time you knew.
About the bees and the flowers, Ma.
No. It's time you knew I can't stand the sight of you.
Well, you ain't no sweater girl, Ma.
For 7 years, you ain't worked, you ain't earned a penny. You ain't good for nothing but eating and sleeping.
Now, Ma, you
the
ain't...
The time has come, son. I'm giving you your choice.
What choice, Ma?
Either you can run away from me or I run away from you.
Yeah.
One of us has got to run away from the other.
Well, I'll run, Ma. I'm younger.
Where are you running to, son?
To New York City, Ma. I can't do nothing else or go on the stage.
Good luck, son. Don't get...
What, Ma?
When your show comes to town,
yeah.
A walk passes.
I won't forget you, Ma. Which way is New York?
Walk this door and turn left on the hall.
I know. By the ash can, bare left.
Now get...
Going, Mother!
Would Fred Allen go on the stage?
Would he take New York by storm?
Would he be another John Barrymore or...
just a bum.
And so, with his toothbrush in one hand and a crust of bread in the other, Fred Allen arrived in New York determined to be an actor. One day, he passed a shabby little theater on Broadway. A sign on the lobby said, Burlesque, Maurice Bozo Evans, and Humpty Dumpty Girl. Allen went backstage to see Mr. Evans.
girls, that's enough for the bubble dance. Let the air out of your bubbles. Girls, it's over.
Mr. Evans.
I'm Bozo, yes?
Can I?
Read it, brother, if you're waiting for the girls outside.
But I want to join your show, Mr. Evans.
Call me at the Miss Hotel later.
But I've got to be an actor.
Why?
My grandfather died and left me a velvet beret, a polo coat with a mink collar, lavender spats, and a bamboo cane.
You've got to go on the stage, you poor chap.
Well, I've got what it takes to be an actor, Mr. Evans.
Can you go without eating?
Yes, sir.
Can you travel in cattle cars?
Yes, sir.
Can you get out of a hotel window and climb down the drain pipe with two suitcases and a copy of the billboard?
Yes, sir.
You'll do. We're opening Glens Falls tomorrow night.
And the following night at Glens Falls, New York, Fred Allen made his first appearance before a theater audience. When the first act curtain came down on Maurice Bozo Evans and his Humpty Dumpty girls, Fred Allen walked out on the stage and said...
Now, folks, I'm calling your attention to Crunch-O, this delicious new chewy candy. There's a prize in every package. You say this ain't enough? All right. Besides a prize in every base in every package, I'm giving away a 52-piece set of dishes, a portable radio, and a brand-new Goodrich tire. Now, who started off? Who takes the first box of Crunch-O delicious chewy candy? It's a nickel. It's a half a dime.
And so Fred Allen's theatrical career was launched.
Would Fred Allen have Broadway at his feet?
Would he turn out to be the toast of New York, or...
Yes, sir.
From burlesque, Fred Allen went into vaudeville. From vaudeville, into receivership. And from receivership, Fred Allen went into Broadway shows.
The passing show of 1922.
Boogs and Frolics.
The Greenwich Village Follies.
Follies.
The first little show.
Freeze the Crowd.
Then Fred Allen went to Hollywood. There he made three pictures.
Hank's the Million with Dick Powell.
Sally Ari Berry with Alice Faye.
Rob Thy Neighbor with Rochester.
By now a seasoned trooper, Fred Allen finally turned to radio. In 1932, a new program came to the air.
The Linnet Fast Corporate, starring Fred Allen.
In 1933...
Hellman's Mayonnaise presents Fred Allen.
In 1934, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9...
It's Town Hall tonight with Fred Allen.
In 1940, Fred Allen found a new sponsor. The Texas Company, with their 45,000 dealers from coast to coast, faced the crisis. At a conference one day, a vice president said,
I tell you, O.G., we've got to do something. After all, we sell gasoline.
I know, Geeky.
People are staying home listening to their radios. Nobody's out driving radio who will drive people out of their homes and into their cars.
I know just the man, J.C.
Who?
Fred Allen.
And on October 2nd, 1940, Fred Allen started his Texaco Star Theater. People fled out of their houses into their automobiles. Finally, there were no listeners left at home on Wednesday night. Tonight, Fred Allen begins his drive against Sunday listeners. As his first program draws to a close, and Fred Allen says...
Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and all listeners.
I ask you,
is Fred Allen a star?
Is Fred Allen a celebrity?
Is Fred Allen the man of the hour, or...
Yes, sir.
As our first Sunday show comes to a close, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. Now, next week, our guest will be Tyrone Power, the popular 20th Century Fox movie star, and the winner of the Texaco College competition at Colgate University, David Bowman. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast, inviting you to tune in again next Sunday night and to drive in at your Texaco dealers at any time. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KMS, Los Angeles, the voice of Hollywood.